enjoy every second of today. You ever been in one of those moments that just feels like it's surreal? I don't know, it's just kind of where we're at. When the hand of God is on your life and moving, sometimes life just seems surreal. The time, you know, it loses its value. I don't know, it's just like you sit in a heavenly place with the Lord. And I thank God, choir, how wonderful. And you young people that sung, the youth choir, how precious. Enjoy Sunday school. I tell you, we can leave right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But certainly we have a message that God has laid up on our heart. You have your Bibles tonight. We're going to turn in just two little old places. But I'll be honest with you, and I believe I told Barry, riding the lawnmower yesterday evening, I come in, I told my wife, I said, "Lord, honey, I've been crying all evening trying to cut the grass." And that's not a normal occurrence for me. It wasn't that we had wild onions in our eyes, but the Lord began to give us a message. And certainly we want to do our best to leave it within your hearing. In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, the 20th verse. And let me say as you turn there, that certainly this letter gives us some insight to a man that loved the Lord, one of the greatest, I guess, servants of the Lord that we see in the New Testament. And we've got to understand that he was a man just like we are. I think we look at our Bible heroes and we fail sometimes to realize this letter was real life. If you've got a son or a daughter, if you had an opportunity on your deathbed to leave them one last word of encouragement, I've often thought, "Lord, when I leave this world, I'd love one last time to have my children and people that I love come around by my bedside where I could just one more time leave them some encouragement along the way." And this letter is a letter of a man that is fixing to die, and he's sending it to his son in the Lord. Now, let me say, I've had the pleasure of pastoring a few churches. In every church, a young man has to have his mamas and his daddies. And it's funny how those that we're not even blood kin to, we become so close to. There's a bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His blood, it is so great that we adopt all the children and they become ours collectively as a church. Certainly, it's a little under-shepherd. They become yours. I told Brother Roger, those young people were standing. You know, you mess with a member of the body of Christ, and certainly the rest of the body will stand up. But Lord help, you mess with the children, and that's a whole other story.
Right.
And here Paul is leaving the last words to Timothy. And by the time this letter finds Timothy, Paul is going to be most likely deceased. And in the first chapter, let me say this, in the first chapter, he tells him, "Timothy, I've seen something in your grandma and in your mama, and I'm persuaded it's in you also." That being the salvation of God. He says, "Now, Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And in the early part of this second chapter that we'll read two verses from, he says, "And by the way, Timothy, God has called you to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, don't get tangled up with the things of this life, but serve the Lord and please Him who has called you to be a soldier."
Amen.
Now, in the second chapter and the 20th verse, I want to borrow from the Apostle Paul, and I want to read to you two verses, and then we'll turn to Jeremiah. "But in a great house, thou art not only vessels of gold, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good word." Then I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Anybody want to go with me this morning down to the potter's house? The Lord said, "Now, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and then I'll call you to hear my word." My prayer for you this morning, did you join me in a another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. May God add His blessing to His word this morning. I want you to know that we're all on the will of God if we've been saved by grace. And I made mention of it this morning. My heart has been so full and I tried so hard to be quiet. But it's hard to be quiet when everything in you is so stirred and moving down on the inside. No, my friend, we're all that have been saved are on the potter's will of God. I want you to know that what I love to see is when God reaches down into the fiery clay and into the sin of this world and reaches way down and pulls up a vessel that's been broken and marred and wounded and it's got cracks in it and it's defective and it's flawed, but yet He puts it on the potter's wheel and begins to work with it and labor with it. Oh, does anybody in here feel like I feel? Thank God this morning He reached way down when He reached for me. I will thank God this morning I'm not in the muck and mire of the world. I'm on the potter's wheel. To be a vessel of the Lord, first of all, you've got to be chosen. Remember the Apostle Paul when he was Saul and God blinded him on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
He said, now you go on down to Damascus and I'll show you, I'll do for you what needs to be done. There's a little servant of God by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was there praying one day and the Lord spoke to him. He said, hear my Lord. He said, I want you to go down. A man named Saul has seen you coming in and laying hands on him and healed, recovering his sight. And then I said, now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute, Lord. This man has brought a lot of havoc in the church. Well, are you sure about this? And God said this of Saul who became Paul. He is a chosen vessel. I want you to know this morning, you're saved not because you chose Him. You're saved because He first chose you. Thank God you're a chosen generation and a holy nation. Thank God this didn't just happen, but the hand of the potter, the good hand of God, reached down to where we were and picked us out. You're chosen. Chosen of God. Listen, there are people in this life that feel like they have no value. There are people in this life that feel like they have no purpose. But I've come to tell you this morning, that's not who we are. We've been chosen by the hand of Almighty God.
That's right.
And He loves us. He loves us. Now, whenever Paul saw, or whenever Paul had hands laid on him and the scales fell from his eyes, now it was time for him to labor and work that God had called him to do. But I want you to also notice this. Listen, the hand of God has chosen us. The Spirit of God has chosen us. But not only so, that vessel has to be sanctified to be used in the house of God. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, and even in the book of Hebrews, it said that the vessels that were used in the tabernacle and later in the temple had to be sanctified by blood. Listen, they would take the blood of a lamb and mix it with water to hit up brain, and they would sprinkle the vessels of service. Thank God what makes you fit to serve the Lord is that you've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Somebody said, I'm not worthy to be used of God. Neither am I, but thank God, I who was unworthy am made worthy by the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary.
Amen.
A word I'm redeemed with the corruptible things of this world, but we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. So, those of us that are saved are on the potter's wheel. Listen. Is anybody in the house of God that would just get on the potter's wheel with me this morning? I can't promise you it ain't going to be hard. I can't promise you it's going to be perfect, but is there anybody grace. Paul told them in the 2 Corinthians, he said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me tell you what makes us worth something. It's not that we're anything within ourselves, but when we got saved, God put a treasure down on the inside of our soul. And this is just a clay jar. That's all it is. Listen, and each and every one of us, we have flaws. Each and every one of us, we make mistakes. I'll tell you this. If you won't look in my closet, I won't look in yours. And if you'll forgive me and love me, I'll forgive you and love you. If you'll pray for me, I'll pray for you. But make no mistake, we're all flawed. We all. Now this is the point where I go, okay, God, how honest do you want me to be? How far do you want me to go? Yeah, if I go too far, what do you need to say, brother, that's far enough. I'd be okay. I'll tell you this, I am the most obsessive compulsive person you ever seen. Lord have mercy, everything for me has to line up just right. Has to work, because I'm the kind of fellow that cuts his grass in one direction. Got to look like Wrigley Field when it's all said and done. I'm the kind of guy that whenever he cuts up a field with a set of disc and a half, we call him hard.
Yeah.
And whenever I leave that field, there ain't no tracks left. It just drives me crazy. Somebody driving the field, and now I've got to cut them tracks that it's, you know, and I'm obsessed over the stupidest little things. And I really, it's a curse. I drive myself crazy worrying about things that never happen. This vessel is large. But thank God every now and then, I can get a hold of that good part. I can get a hold of that treasure. And that treasure gives me joy and strength and all. For David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So just come on the potter's wheel, women. Let's be honest. I tell you what, I'm sick and tired of living in a world where everybody acts like they got everything together when the truth is we've all got stuff.
Amen.
But God's grace is always sufficient for my stuff. So Jeremiah looks. God, he sees the potter, and that potter has got his hands on the clay, and it's marred, and God takes it and begins to fashion it in the way that he wants it to be. Has anybody in here besides me that made plans for your life, and you know what your plans weren't? God's plans. And everything got turned upside down. But you thank God that it did. Because up to this point, God has had his hand on your life. And up to this point, it's working out. I'm just saying this. I'm willing to die and go all the way. He's been so good to me. God do anything. But don't take your hands off of this clay.
Yeah.
You know, that clay, for it to be shaped, it's got to have some pressure. When the hands of the potter get on that clay and begin to shape it and mold it, he does it with the pressure of his hand. Is it any wonder why Ezra and Nehemiah said the good hand of God was upon me? And let me say that. That don't always mean that I'm happy. Sometimes God breaks my heart. Sometimes God chastises me. But I thank God he's got his hands on the clay and he's shaping and he's molding and he's moving me in the direction that he wants me to go. And one day after a while, he who hath begun this good work in me will perform it under the day of Christ.
Amen.
You know what that means? I'll never come off the wheel until the day I die. Is anybody in the house of God this morning that can rejoice in the fact that you're still on the wheel?
Yeah.
Oh. And it's not always easy when God moves your life in another direction. And it's not always easy when God wants to say sometimes, listen, in another scripture, future. The Bible said, does the clay have the power to say to the potter, you made me thus and thus? Let me say this. The best thing we can do is to stop fighting the hand of God and let God have His way. When we stop fighting the hand of God and let Him move us where He wants us and direct us where He wants us, we will find joy. Oh God, clay on the potter's one of that church. I want to tell you this. I read to you and I see a great analogy of the church and what Paul wrote to Timothy. In a great house there are many vessels. There are too many people that don't love the house of God. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about your building. I'm talking about the people. Let me say this. This is precious. This is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. Thank God this is precious. What we have to be able to come together and love one another and be able to serve the Lord together and have a purpose in seeing souls saved and encouraging one another. Don't take this for granted. This is precious.
Amen.
And in the house of God, there, there are many vessels. And all of us, somewhat marred. I love Terry. Brother Michael Cantrell helped y'all in revival. When Terry joined where we pastored and where we're members at up at Ebenezer, this was her testimony. If you'll have me, she said, I've got a lot of dings and a lot of dents, but if you'll have me, I'd like to be a part. Oh, I love it because it was so honest. Because we've all got some dings and we've all got some dents. And we all have some cracks. Church, there's a huge important part for us to play in this. Listen, these young people, let me say this to our young people. And oh God, did I just say that? I'm sorry. In the days that Nebuchadnezzar's boy, Belshazzar, took over the kingdom, remember, they had a big party and went and pulled the vessels that were used in the house of God for service and began to use them for a worldly purpose. I don't know how you feel, but I'm sick and tired of seeing our young people get saved and be a part of the house of God. And then the world comes in and drags them out. And church, we've got to find David says they're not called. God help us. Listen, and the best thing we can have is a spiritual church where they come in and feel the power and the presence of God. How many times have you and I been out in the world and we come to the house of God and the Spirit of God stirs us to repent and draw nigh unto God? That's the kind of church we need in the day and age we live. But to move clay, you've got to have the presence of water. It's got to be moist. And we're living in a dry, dead, cold world that does not love or care anymore. And what we need in the house of God is the movement of some water. Remember the man that was in Poland and he waited there for a movement of the waters and a stirring of the waters. There's nothing greater that can happen in my life and yours than when the waters get stirred from the inside out.
Amen.
And it makes that clay soft, and the potter can begin to mold it again. But I want to leave you with a warning. If we harden our hearts, if the clay gets hard, then the potter has no other choice than to break that vessel, powder it up, and start all over from scratch again. Listen, that's why the Bible encourages us not to harden our heart toward the Lord. Then, when we get in that shape, God has to break us. Has anybody in here ever had to be broken? You know what I love about the grace of God? When He breaks us, He don't just sweep us up into a pile, put us in the dustpan and cast us out. But He breaks us. Then to add a little water and reshape us and remold us and make us in His image. And whether we're mobile, movable clay, or whether we have to be broken, He loves us, and His hands want to work in our hearts and in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, listen. Stay on the potter's wheel. Stay on the potter's wheel of God. And those of you that are not, those of you that are hard, let me say this, the easiest thing to have happen in your life. And it doesn't happen on purpose. We never purpose in our heart to leave God. I don't believe a saved person has ever said, okay, I'm saved, I'm just going to leave God. It doesn't work like that. We slowly begin to drift away. And God sends us messages. And God sends us times that He deals with us and tries to draw us back unto Himself. And if we harden, we find ourselves in a difficult, desolate place with God. Stand on your feet this morning if you will. Oh, if you will, get us a song this morning. I'm just asking you this. This is all I'm asking. Who would put their life on the potter's wheel and say, God, I've done it my way long enough. I've tried all I can try. My life's not getting any better. Who would put their life on the potter's wheel and say, God, make me what you want me to be? What about it this morning? It says,